Welcome to episode 132 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live July 1st, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In today's episode, we discuss in more detail why, when it comes to Office 365, friends don't let friends buy business, as we discuss the feature discrepancies between the business plans and the enterprise plans in Office 365. So you have made it back from your wanderings around the world.
Adventures around the world. Florida to New York to Moscow to Delhi to Delhi to Moscow to New York to Florida. Very fun.
Wow. I went from my house to the pool to my house to the pool.
But the pool is in your backyard, so you never really left your house.
Yeah, I really didn't. I stepped, walked like 10 feet.
Excellent.
But it was good. You said it was hot there. So is India, you said it was hot. Is it hotter than Florida?
It is hotter than Florida. It was like 108, 109, 110 Fahrenheit most days.
I didn't think that was... Okay, so I actually knew it was possible to get hotter than Florida. I just feel like it. I would die if it was hotter than it is in Florida.
Hotter. Humidity is a little bit lower.
Okay, so that makes it a little more bearable.
Yeah, it gets down to like between 95 and 100 at night. Not too bad.
Very nice.
So for those of you in Celsius land, that's like 47, 48, 49 Celsius as the high during the day. Nice and warm.
Cook an egg on the sidewalk?
Yes. I don't know that I would cook much.
We can just leave it at that.
I don't know that I would cook much on the sidewalks in America, let alone the sidewalks in Delhi.
I almost thought about, so I have that table for my egg that we did the whole swaparoo thing with, and it was hot enough the other day, I almost thought about just dropping an egg on it to see if I could fry an egg on the stainless steel tabletop.
You might have been able to.
I don't know. Maybe someday. I'll give it a try. But we were not going to talk about how hot life is in Florida or India today. We have another topic to talk about.
Let's get into it.
And you said you were going to rant. I'm going to try not to rant.
Okay, I can pull myself back.
Or can we do the good cop, bad cop? You can be the bad ranty cop.
No. I can pull myself back. Stuff. It's not a big deal. I understand boundaries.
Okay. Keep telling yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
So this is a topic we've kind of hinted at and talked about several times, where we have the whole friends don't let friends buy business plans in Office 365. But I don't know that we ever have gone through and broken out why friends don't let friends buy business. And this is a topic that has come up before with my clients. It has come up before. I've seen Reddit posts about it. There's a whole bunch of stuff here about you shouldn't buy business or why you should buy business. And everybody's like, well, where's a good comparison chart? Where is that feature breakdown of why should I not buy business? So we figured we would kind of talk through some of the differences there. I went through and kind of bulleted out a bunch of the bigger things that I saw. And we just kind of go through a list of why you might not want to buy business.
Yeah. So before we start all this, we're talking about two different products or SKUs of Microsoft 365, Office 365 that cost different amounts of money, right? So really we're talking about where you are going to get the best bang for your buck or return on investment on where you spend your money in the Microsoft ecosystem. I think it's helpful to just kind of call out the price so everybody has that difference in mind in the back of their head. And then we can kind of get into where that value add is or really why you should make this consideration.
Right. And to be fair, this also isn't saying that people can't buy business. I have had clients that have been on business. They've been just fine. They've been happy with it. But there are a lot of differences. And like you said, that price, when we go through this, we're going to compare the business premium, which is $12.50 a month, which includes both the Office desktop suite and then the online services. And we'll compare the Enterprise E3, which is kind of that comparable plan where it's the software and it's the on-prem desktop version. And we're going to be breaking those down kind of feature by feature. And you can take that and kind of extrapolate it out to the other plans based on whether there's some online services stuff we're talking about, some desktop stuff we're talking about, as you would go down to, like, I can't remember what they are. I think business is just, business essentials is online, business is the desktop suite, and then business premium is both. In enterprise land, you have Pro Plus for the desktop, you have E1 for the online services, and then E3 is the combination of the two.
Yep. And then just to be very clear, we're leaving home out of this equation because there's all sorts of other SKUs and things that exist on the side.
Yep. As well as E5, because there is nothing that compares to an E5 plan when you go to the business side of things. So business kind of stops at that E3-ish level.
All right, cool. Let's go ahead and get into it.
Do you want to pick off a feature or do you want me to pick off a feature?
Ooh, well, where should we start? You want to start with security? You want to start with identity? You want to start with just email or products?
Stuff. Let's do identity, because that's kind of the back end of all of this. Some of the identity, some of the conditional access stuff, some of the Azure AD. So we'll start with the back end service that drives everything and maybe kind of go from there.
Okay, let's do it. When we think about identity and we think about this business versus enterprise side of life, particularly with identity, we're going to quite often dial into a security conversation, right? These things go together. So one of the things that's going to happen is you might want features that align to Azure Active Directory Premium. Maybe that's having 100% like proper Azure MFA. You're looking to do advanced security controls. Maybe do login filtering by device or platform, something like conditional access. You are interested in features like self-service password reset, right? All these nice things that we talk about with, hey, isn't Azure AD plus Office 365 great together? And then once you go down that path, you'll might come in as a business customer and say, hey, it would be really nice if I could go ahead and just purchase AD premium. And then you go, oh, I can't.
Yes, it is just not an option if you are on a business plan. So like you said, you go in, you want some of those extra features and you can't upgrade to them. So to be fair on the business side, Microsoft does go in and include some of these, but they only include those features that they deem necessary for SMBs. So right now they have self-service password reset you can do. You can do the Azure MFA. And you can do conditional access. So these are kind of those three Azure AD premium features that are available. But to be fair, and we're going to diverge a little bit here from what we said with our licensing, is those, you cannot get those if you're just doing the business Office 365 plans. Here, you actually have to upgrade to Microsoft 365 Business. So if you already have Windows 10 and you don't want to go license Windows 10 through Business, I believe the Microsoft 365 Business plans actually jump you higher in cost than the Enterprise E3 plans. If not, they're really close. I don't have the pricing there off the top of my head. But don't go buy Microsoft or Office 365 Business and think you can add on some of these pre-selected Azure AD premium features that Microsoft offers. You're going to have to upgrade to that Microsoft 365 Business SKU to get any of those self-service password reset, Azure MFA, conditional access, or any other Azure AD type or Azure AD premium type features that Microsoft may decide to roll out to the business plans down the road.
Yeah, you're very much beholden to, like you said, Microsoft putting together that SKU pack, and hopefully they put the things in there that you want to have in there across the workloads that are available, right? So you're losing a bunch of flexibility when it comes to being able to purchase these add-ons and put yourself where you might want to be. You know, again, we're not even talking about Office 365 or M365 functionality. We're talking just about things like account management and identity and security around the way people log into your workloads and access the data that's inside of those workloads.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, looking at some of those features, I know I'm getting to the point where I'm like, if you're going to go get Office 365, just get EMS because it just broadens your ability of what you can do. And this is kind of locking you down because not only is Azure AD Premium not available, but you can also imagine then by default, if you can't buy Azure AD Premium, that also means that whole EMS suite, those EMS E3, EMS E5, isn't available as an add-on for those business plans, simply because a big part of EMS is Azure AD, it is Intune, it's that whole security suite that is kind of almost based off Azure AD Premium. And again, because you can't do Azure AD Premium, you cannot get EMS E3 or E5 as an add-on to a Office 365 business plan.
Yeah, I like to think of EMS as 100% a security play in the back of my head, and that's always the way I frame it out. But there's this weird point where if you're on a business plan and you're doing, you know, you're hitting maybe critical mass with the number of licenses you get, right? It might not be in, you know, a world where you only need 5 licenses that you go, okay, I can live with these limitations. Once you start to get above, you know, 50, 100 users, or you're up to 200 or 300, or you start to go ahead and bypass some of those places where you might be, you know, really more enterprise-y than you think. Because remember, enterprise is just a string at this point, right? It's just a way to describe a SKU. Don't think, you know, you have to be a 5,000 or a 50,000 person organization to have access to these features. So you really do limit yourself when it comes to having access to advanced security within there. I mean, Intune's a huge one, right? Particularly if you're looking to do any kind of corporate device management, or even if you're looking to do maybe not MDM, but just do mobile application management and make sure that your data is better secured within your workloads.
Yeah, exactly. And it is. I'm the same boat with you, where EMS is 100% security, whether it's mobile app security, BYOD security, some of the Azure AD Premium security, the conditional access stuff, all of that. And again, you do get some of that if you go to the Microsoft 365 business, but there is a lot more functionality in EMS than you're ever going to be able to achieve in those business plans. And speaking of that, kind of continuing on with the whole feature thing, is this one actually really intrigued me. And I kind of knew it, but it hadn't really, I don't know if it really registered or I saw it, is the phone system or PSTN calling options. If you are looking at those in Office 365, you can't add on those phone features, the PSTN calling, to a business plan. That's another one that you must be on either Office 365 E3 or E5 to actually get those additional calling features functionality for Office 365. And the reason this intrigued me is kind of back to what you said about enterprise, is a lot of people think of enterprise as a certain threshold of number of users of a certain size company. And they think of SMB as those 25, 50, 100 person companies. If you are doing those business plans, I actually see the phone system right now in Office 365 as more of an SMB play than an enterprise play. If you're
absolutely
thousands of users, you are not going to be doing PSTN calling. It's just not, again, in my opinion, it's not at that level of matching an enterprise phone system. So why not make this phone system PSTN calling available to those SMB plans? Because that is what I see as the target market for a phone system in Office 365.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you there. It would really shine in smaller businesses, right? Where either you're looking for soft phones or even just limited hard phones, and you need some of that kind of basic call queuing, branching, you know, on hold functionality for your organization. If you're already a couple thousand seat organization, you've probably got existing hardware. You maybe do business in locales where Microsoft isn't available as a telco, things like that, which we've talked about in the past. So, you know, there's a ton of considerations there. But if you're just a, you know, like you said, like a 100, 200 person place and you need soft phones, like, all right, now you've limited yourself. You can't even get into it.
Right. Yeah, I had, and I just recently had this conversation. This is part of where all this came up too, is I had a conversation with a client that they're like 8 full-time employees, 10 or 11, or like another 3 or 4 part-time employees. And they are looking to just use Office 365 for their full-blown phone system. And they were like, well, let's just do the business plans because we can save ourselves $8 a month. And we started talking. We're like, you know what? If you guys want to do phone system, let's just take business off the table, because that's not even an option, which, again, kind of surprises me. But it's also one of those features that we wanted to mention, is if you're looking to do phone system functionality, if you're looking to do those phone system features, and you're at that business level, you want to do your PSTN calling, your conference calling, just that full-blown Office 365, you just have to look to enterprise right away. You just have to start off with E1, E3, E5, any one of those. You can add those, that phone system, PSTN calling, conference calling, all of that onto.
Yeah. And it's not even those things too, right? It's things like audio conferencing, like being able to do ACP and build that in. There's just a, there's this core set of functionality that you probably want in a collaborative landscape like Office 365. And you've boxed yourself in by saying like, okay, we want it, but now we can't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides, or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
We're going to keep going down the Azure route. There's one more. It's technically an Azure feature, but it really is, you leverage it as part of SharePoint, part of the whole Office 365 suite, and that's this Azure Information Protection. This one is a little different in that it is, you can actually purchase this as an add-on for your business premium plans. So for an extra $2 to $5 a month, based on what functionality, what level of Azure Information Protection you want, you can upgrade your business to include it. Now, one thing to think about here, going back to that pricing, is business is $12.50 a month, E3 is $20 a month. If you're going to spend $5 a month for Azure Information Protection, you're at $17.50 a month. At that point in time, you're only, what, $2 short of your enterprise, and you're missing all these other features. You might want to just upgrade to enterprise. But this Azure Information Protection plan that is included with E3 but missing from premium is what includes things like your email message encryption. It includes the information rights management. So if you're using SharePoint, you want to set those policies on your documents that go into SharePoint around, don't print this, don't copy it, this can't be forwarded with email. All of that information rights management, Azure rights protection, I think at one point in time it was actually Azure rights management as well. All of that functionality is again included with that E3 plan, and none of it is available with the business premium plan unless you go buy that separate add-on to support all of those existing features. And then it starts getting even more goofy from there, because if you're on business and you go buy Azure Information Protection, you still don't get all of it, because some of these features in Azure Information Protection require a subscription to Office 365 Pro Plus, which is the enterprise plan for your Office desktop, not the business plan. So even though you go spend this extra money, you get Azure Information Protection, you don't get all of it because you're still on a business plan for your desktop version of Office.
Yes, because there are things, because ultimately we're talking about protecting information that flows through these backend systems, right? Like Exchange, SharePoint, all that kind of stuff. And now all of a sudden we've got to worry about, you know, maybe front loading functionality with how did that stuff get into this? Oh, it was saved through Office. Well, now you got to have the right version of Office to talk to you, the right version or thing on the backend to make that happen. So yeah. It runs away from you very quickly.
Right. And that whole Azure Information Protection, again, if people aren't familiar with it, I know we've talked about doing an episode on this too. Maybe we should at some point in time, but that's that whole protection too that travels with the document. So that's another part of that desktop side is you can use SharePoint libraries to apply Azure Information Protection, but most of that Azure Information Protection actually happens in the desktop client. It's supported by backend services, but that protection then travels with the document as you may email it around, as people may upload it and download it. It's all of that encryption and protection that is actually like embedded right within the document itself. So that's where some of those desktop requirements come out around how well Azure Information Protection actually works with your 365 subscription.
Yeah. But I think this calls out too, again, that, you know, really it's another one of those key differences, these two different versions of Office and which one you actually need to do the right job, right? Which one's the right tool that's going to get you to where you need to be and which one is going to give you that level of flexibility and kind of growth or elasticity, whatever you need organizationally to get where you want to be.
Yep. And that is, we won't go into a lot of the desktop Office features. We can put some links and some stuff in the show notes. They're a little vague around even some of those desktop Office, but we do want to make you aware that when you start looking at desktop Office with the Pro Plus versus the business plan and what comes with your business plans, there are some even functionality differences in the desktop version. Just a few of the ones I pointed out are things like multilingual user interface, desktop virtualization, group policy support, and then some Excel spreadsheet stuff around comparisons, inquiries. So there are, again, we're not going to dive into all those features. We're going to focus more on the cloud stuff, but look at some of those differences too. Go look at the service descriptions, which is actually where I pulled most of this information from, is just going down and looking, hey, what features are missing from those business plans that are included in the E3 plans? And there's a breakdown there for desktop Office as well, the Pro Plus versus the business version of desktop Office. So differences there too. And this Azure Information Protection is just one of those differences.
Just one of several.
So what one next? More security stuff. This was another interesting one. Data loss prevention.
DLP, our old friend. So when we think about this with business, you just lose a bunch that you might want to have because, hey, it's DLP. Let's think Exchange, SharePoint, Skype for Business, Teams, no DLP in business, right?
Yep.
No access to DLP reports. And yeah, you just can't even buy it. But if you want that stuff, it's all sitting there in the E3 ready to go for you.
Yeah. Even on like Exchange Plan 2, all of these enterprise, because Exchange Plan 2 is, let's face it, more of an enterprise-y play, and we'll dive into a little bit of that here in a minute, but DLP is included with that E3 plan, like you said. And I could not find a way, I didn't find any documentation to support this, but I didn't find any documentation to say that it's possible, is that you can even do your data loss prevention or data loss protection, either or. I think it's protection. I just always say DLP, but it doesn't work with business. So if you have sensitive information, again, just because you're a small business doesn't mean you don't have PII, you don't have to comply with HIPAA stuff, you don't have financial information in your cloud-based services. If you want to protect that with DLP, again, you're just going to have to jump right to those enterprise plans because your DLP isn't going to be available with your business plans.
No, it's not. I mean, this is another one of those, you have to dive pretty deep into the service description to figure out, you know, exactly within security and compliance, what's available to you and what's not available to you. And it's a little bit weird because it's not even called out as part of just security and compliance. It's the actual features of the Security and Compliance Center, even though these features have not much to do because they're configured through security and compliance, but I digress.
Yes. And some of these even pop up in weird places. So diving into our next service, Exchange Online, is where I also found some of the DLP stuff because as you start looking through these service descriptions, when it comes to Exchange Online and that backend service that you get, business plans are essentially your Exchange Online Plan 1, and your enterprise plans are Exchange Online Plan 2. So if you start comparing business or Exchange Online Plan 1 and Exchange Online Plan 2, you'll actually notice that's where some of the DLP stuff starts showing up. There is some other features, some rather big features too, between those two business plans and the business plan and the e-plan, Exchange Online Plan 1 and Exchange Online Plan 2, when it comes to functionality there around email. So you have things like archiving. With business, you get 500 gigabytes in your email archive. So if you're doing online archiving, if you have massive amounts of email, which, again, just because you're a small company doesn't mean you don't. I have seen some law firms that have a few employees that have gigabytes and gigabytes of email because, not to be stereotypical, but lawyers save everything.
Yeah, keep going. Think like terabytes or exabytes. Okay. Just stuff.
Petabytes of exabytes of gigabytes of data.
Digital hoarders is what lawyers are. Right. And it's part of the job.
We apologize to any lawyers listening, but write us and tell us if you're not a digital hoarder, because I actually want to meet you.
No, I've worked for a couple law firms, so yeah, no, I concur with your assessment.
You haven't met one yet. Anyways, so that's an archiving issue that you can run into, is you may run out of archive space versus your E3 where you have unlimited archiving. Granted, it's a little goofy. You have to go open some service tickets, I think, every once in a while. Is that OneDrive for Business? I don't know. But end of the day, however you get it, you do have unlimited email archiving in those enterprise plans, as well as if you are doing a hybrid type environment, if you're doing some of the Exchange Online or Exchange on-prem, you can't do any cloud-based archiving of those on-prem mailboxes for business. So there's a bunch of stuff around archiving that is kind of, I would say, one of the key differences between Exchange Online. But again, there's lots of little nuances there, little aspects to those two plans that you want to pay attention to in terms of what you get when you look at a business Exchange Online plan or Exchange Online Plan 1 versus your enterprise Exchange Online or that Exchange Online Plan 2.
Yeah, some of that too, if you think back to functionality, like if you think about some of those businesses that are maybe coming from an on-prem world to the cloud, it can be even about having access to user CALs and server CALs. You know, you buy them once in the enterprise plan and then you get to backport it to on-prem. Sometimes you do potentially lose a little bit of that functionality in business land. So definitely another thing to think about there too. Like if you're just even thinking about migrating, like you said, hybrid or coming up this way, there's just a bunch of little like gotchas.
Yeah, exactly. So down through our plans, because we have a few more to get through, Escape for Business is another one. Granted, as you're moving to Teams, this may change. I don't have anything in here around Teams and what you get with the different ones. But based on what you get with Skype for Business, you can maybe figure some of it out. But essentially, Skype for Business, when you look at the business plans, you just have those. There's a Skype for Business Basic, and you're limited to the functionality in Skype for Business Basic. Again, go look at the service descriptions. This one is going to be the one that's probably going to change the most with Teams. But once you go to those enterprise plans, there are no limitations. Some of this even revolves around some of the calling stuff that we talked about earlier with the PSTN calling, the phone systems, is that because those online services aren't available, your Skype for Business client, your Skype for Business backend doesn't need to support it. So you get more just that basic functionality, where once you go to enterprise and it supports all of the voice features, the calling features, the conferencing for meetings, you get that unlimited functionality when it comes to your Skype for Business client, Skype for Business service, when you're looking at the difference between the two plans.
I think another one there is when we think about like basic versus the full, it could even be client experience. So something like the Skype for Business client is totally supported with all of those subscriptions, but it's not necessarily included. So Link 2013 Basic is available for every customer, but the Skype for Business client, which isn't the Link 2013 client, is not available for everybody, right? You have to be over in that enterprise side. So it's maybe not even about the back-end functionality. Now it's about the front-end client that interacts with it and how you come into that ecosystem.
Yes. Clear as mud with all of this.
Well, again, read the service description. You know, there's a nice table in there that kind of spells it out and says what's what and what's going on inside of there.
Yeah.
Opsgility is disrupting cloud training as we know it with their on-demand platform, SkillMeUp. Their new design focuses on a user flow to better support role-based learning paths with these great new features. Real-time, hands-on labs are now included with each subscription to build your skills competence. Hundreds of cloud courses with more added daily to transform your skills for today's cloud-first careers. Role-based learning paths guide you through associated level courses in an easy-to-view layout and tracker. Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365 certification prep courses and labs to support you leading up to exam day. Learn more and start your free 3-day trial at www.skillmeup.com.
Should we keep going through our features? The next
one is
eDiscovery. This one's actually pretty simple. It's not available with Business Premium. You're not going to be able to get it. So if you ever have any need for eDiscovery, legal holds, any of that type of functionality to retain content in the case of an audit or a lawsuit or one of those type scenarios where you need that eDiscovery legal hold placed on all of your content in Office 365, if you're on Business Premium, you're just going to be out of luck. You're going to have to hope people don't delete it. Once you go to Enterprise, that eDiscovery is included with all your E3 plans, so you can go ahead and place content on hold, do legal discoveries, export content, all of that rich eDiscovery legal security and compliance type functionality.
Yeah, there's some other retention features that you miss in business as well, right?
Yeah, there is. And some of these are new, some of these are older, but these are those retention policies where, hey, after 7 years, we're going to expire content. It's going to go into disposition. I think it's disposition. You choose to delete it, to keep it. None of those retention policies are available with the business. You don't get all of them with E3 either. You do get the manual retention policies. Once you start upgrading then to E5, which is an option if you're in the enterprise suite, you can get a lot of the automatic retention policies. That's where you get some of the automatic labeling that can tie into the retention policies. So that's some other functionality that is missing in those business plans that, depending on your industry, may be a big deal. And again, going back, I'm going to use legal, maybe even healthcare. If you're a smaller doctor's office or if you're financials, retention policies can be used a lot for financial type documents that you want to delete after 7 years for liability type purposes, or you need to make sure you keep certain content for X number of years. If you're on the business plan, you're not going to get that retention policy, that functionality that you would get in those enterprise plans.
Yeah, not limiting at all, right?
No. And then to wrap it all up, OneDrive and SharePoint, something we are both familiar with.
Are we? Am I?
You are. You know you still love SharePoint. Deep down in your heart, you can never get away. And let's face it, a lot of these features haven't changed.
All right. Well, maybe I'll still know them then.
You can still handle it. The biggest thing with OneDrive is actually similar to your Exchange Online, where business plans, you're limited to 1 terabyte of storage. May seem like a lot. 1 terabyte for me is getting to be less and less in terms of the amount of content I store. Your E3, you're going to get unlimited OneDrive for business. This one, I do know you have to open tickets to keep increasing your storage. You can go from like, I don't know, I think you get 2 terabytes by default. You can open a ticket to get 5 terabytes, open another ticket to get 25 terabytes, and keep ramping up if you're on enterprise. If you're on business, you're going to get capped at 1 terabyte. If you want to go higher than that, you're out of luck. SharePoint, this is just like Exchange. Your business plans are based on SharePoint Online Plan 1. Your enterprise plans are SharePoint Online Plan 2. You can go look at the service descriptions again to see a breakdown of the different features here. Just a couple of them I pulled out that tend to be a little bit bigger is InfoPath. Yes, I know it needs to go away, but it's still supported. It's still used. That one is missing from business. The information rights management, which ties back into the Azure Information Protection we talked about earlier, that one's not included with your business, your SharePoint Online Plan 1. Your data loss prevention we talked about earlier, business connectivity services, BCS. Frankly, I don't know anybody that still uses that one. there may be somebody, but that one is going to be missing. And then some of your search web parts and video search, these, we'll have to see how that changes. I don't know how Microsoft Search is going to affect that. When it goes back to these search web parts, video web parts, these really go back to a lot of the web parts around like fast search. When Microsoft took all of the enterprise search functionality, pulled it into SharePoint, I think back in 2010, that's what a lot of these search web parts and video web parts are, still old classic UI type web parts. If you're still on classic UI, this may affect you more than if you're on the modern UI, and they really haven't updated service descriptions that I've seen to reflect how some of these new web parts and the new functionality they're rolling out gets affected by SharePoint Online Plan 1 versus Plan 2.
Yeah, that's another TBD, right? Like you said, as they continue to evolve that functionality, where it actually comes back to.
Yeah, but if you want to keep an eye on it, that's where you're going to look at those service descriptions for all of those is, by and large, business is going to be Plan 1. And they have a Plan 1 and a Plan 2, where your E3 is going to give you the Plan 2 of everything. So that kind of wraps up our flyby of why you may not want to buy business. Why that extra $750 a month, in my opinion, is definitely worth it to be on those enterprise plans, both from the functionality you get as well as the functionality you can expand to as your business grows. Again, yeah. Doesn't mean you can't buy business. I would still have a hard time recommending it.
Well, it's. I think this helps everyone kind of rationalize. You're not just buying features. You're buying flexibility. And really, I mean, that's a huge one, right? Is flexibility within there. So what's it worth within the context of your business to be able to go from maybe you have 300 employees today and you plan at being at 400 at the end of next year. Well, you can't all be in business plans anyway, right? There's limiting factors there. You know, do you keep a subset behind? Do you bring a subset over? However that looks to you. And keep in mind, you can mix and match these two, right? We're not saying that, hey, if you're an organization of 100 users, that all 100 of them maybe need to be on e-plans. But there's probably an argument to be made that at least a subset of them should be. Should your executives be on the most secure plans? Well, they're probably not the most computer savvy folks. So yeah, having more security around them would not be a bad thing, right?
Yep.
That's where these really all come in and really start to make sense.
Right. So go really think about those features. Like we said, look at that comparison. Maybe business does actually make sense for you, but like you said, there's a big difference between them. Mix and match them. Don't just go buy business because it's $7.50 cheaper without understanding the box you're going to put yourself in.
And perfect. With that,
should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right, sounds good. Go enjoy the rest of your day, Scott, the rest of your week, and we will talk to you again later.
Cool. Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.